Good morning, good morning, good morning. Chuck Beether here for the Kirkside Cafe, where we drink up the catalate, which is part catechism and part favorite caffeinated beverage. For me, it's black coffee today because I need to get started on some fully leaded drink. We are at Lord's Day 30, question and answer number 80 of the Heidelberg Catechism. What difference is there between the Lord's Supper and the Pope's Mass? The Lord's Supper testifies to us that we have full forgiveness of all our sins by the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which he himself once accomplished on the cross, and that by the Holy Spirit we are engrafted into Christ, who with his true body is now in heaven at the right hand of the Father and is there to be worshipped. But the Mass teaches that the living and the dead do not have forgiveness of sins through the sufferings of Christ unless Christ is still daily offered for them by the priests, and that Christ is bodily under the form of bread and wine and is therefore to be worshipped in them. And thus the Mass at bottom is nothing else than a denial of a one sacrifice and suffering of Jesus Christ and an accursed idolatry. Well, that's a mouthful right there, but it does distinguish between what we do and what the Roman Catholic Church does. And so to get at this confessional statement using the ultimate authority, God's word, for all of faith and practice and doctrine and life, let's see what these verses tell us this morning concerning the oneness, the singularity of this sacrifice, the one high priest, the one sacrifice, and our one Lord Jesus Christ sitting at the right side, the right hand of God the Father. Hebrews 7:27, who does not need daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices first for his own sins and then for the people's, for this he did once for all when he offered up himself. Hebrews 9 verses 12, 25, and through 28. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption, nor that he should offer himself often as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many to those who eagerly await for him. He will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. Hebrews 10, verses 10, 12, and 14. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. John 19, 30. So when Jesus had received this sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:17. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Hebrews 1:3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Hebrews 8:1. And now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. John 4:21 through 24. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit, and truth. John 20, verse 17. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Luke 24, 52. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Acts 7, 55. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Colossians 3, 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek these things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. 1 Thessalonians 1, 9 and 10. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you. And now you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. And then finally, Matthew 4, 10. And then Jesus said to him, "Away from you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." And so we see a number of things from these proof texts. Again, as I mentioned earlier, the singularity, the one high priest, the one sacrifice, our Lord Jesus Christ being the one high priest, sitting at the right hand of God the Father, the one Father. And then we have this understanding of what it means to worship. We are to worship in spirit and in truth, not by the machinations of man, not by his imaginations, not by what he adds to the Lord's table. It is he that we shall serve. And so do that, dear friends. Walk with the King today, serve him well, and be a blessing.